Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
And welcome to Overnight America. A little George of the Jungle going on there. I don't know what that means. Alex Degman from the KMOX Newsroom. Alex, what's going on, man?
I think you know exactly what it means.
Yeah. I'm going through puberty?
Well, I mean, yeah.
A little old for that. I went through that a long time.
No, you're not. You're just a spring chicken at 30-whatever.
Yeah. Do you think my voice can get any deeper? Is that what's going to happen next? Barry White? It's almost like I'm in a constant state of sickness, if that's the case. But I was intrigued earlier today when I saw you post on social media. You got a scam call.
Oh, and I got heated.
Was it your cell phone or was it the KMOX Newsline?
No, actually, you know what? I wish it had been the KMOX Newsline because then we would probably have a little bit more legal latitude. But no, this was to my cell phone. Uh-huh. I got two calls from different numbers, but I assume it's the same scam.
What area code?
It was 202, so it was a Washington, D.C. number. Oh, okay. But and I'll explain how they got that, how I think they got that number as we go on with the conversation.
Okay, so you get this call from a suspected scammer. You answered it. What did it say?
Oh, I knew it was a scam right away because if you don't answer, they'll leave you a voicemail that says, "Attention, there is a legal lawsuit filed against you. Please call so-and-so-and-so-and-so." So
it was a recording or was it a person?
It was a recording. Okay. You could tell it was a recording. It was very, very obvious. And okay. But this is how most of these scams start. Mm-hmm. So, you know, being that I've covered this same scam at least a dozen times in my journalistic career, I knew exactly what it was. So I wanted to take it a little step further this time. Mm-hmm. And I tried. So I called him back. And I had him on the phone for about 10 minutes or so. And
how long did it take? Did you just immediately get to someone?
Oh, yeah.
And
oh,
you
yeah.
said,
it was real quick.
Did you play along? I got a call that I'm in legal trouble.
That's exactly what I did.
Oh.
I played along and I answered all of his questions and then He was taking a long time explaining everything. So he explained to me, and I didn't think to pull up my blog post. I posted a blog post about this at KMOX.com, but he listed what I was accused of. Ooh. And basically, it was just a roundabout way of saying that I'm stealing money from the government and I'm going to go to jail.
Oh, boy. They really had all the proof against you right there.
Mm-hmm.
There, you know, Kim Gardner's office was already putting things together against you at this point, right?
Well, they're not going to get that specific. they're not going to get that specific because, as I later learned, they have no idea where I live.
Well,
so
of course they don't. I mean, they try to scare you. I'm trying to load up the blog post now, but what were some of those things they accused you of?
It's just all basically a roundabout way of coming back to the essential fact that I'm stealing money from the government. I think they ended up saying that I owe about $5,000 and, you know, it's et cetera, et cetera. But the kicker was, and I knew it was a scam from the get go, first of all, but I started explaining to the guy whose name was, he said his name was Ray Miller.
Okay.
His name's not Ray Miller. I know his name's not Ray Miller.
How do you know that? How do you know that? It very well could be.
Okay, we're not going to get into that. But Ray Miller sounded like he was in an overseas call center. There was a lot of noise in the background. I heard a lot of people talking. And,
are you saying that's not a common name in India? Ray Miller? A lot of these phone banks are based out of there. I'm not trying to stereotype, but that's basically where a lot of the centers are.
It was somewhere in that area of the world.
Okay.
I can give
Ray
you that much
Miller.
Information.
All right. So he led you on, and you were like,
no,
oh,
I let him
no.
on. Let's be clear. I let him on.
You said, oh, no. Oh, please don't put me in jail. Were you playing like the damsel in distress?
I really wish I could play some of this phone call.
Was it good?
It was pretty good. I mean, it's not great.
Do you want to reenact it? I can be Ray Miller, and you can be you, and you can kind of tell me how it went.
I don't want to get in trouble, because I feel like that'll get me in trouble.
Even a reenactment? Okay.
I just don't want to risk it.
I can be you, and you can be
but
Ray
basically,
Miller.
And the reason that I can't play it, this is kind of important, though. The reason I can't play it is because it is against federal broadcast law to play a recording of somebody when, number one, you didn't tell them that they were going to be recorded, and number two, if you didn't tell them that that recording was going to be used for broadcast.
Yeah, you know, it would be a different story if they called the studio line.
Exactly, because
there's an expectation that they could be on air if they do. Yeah.
But I'll tell you what I did. I changed my voicemail today, my personal voicemail, to say, hello, this is Alex Stegman, yada yada, this is who I am. Oh, and by the way, if you leave me a voicemail, I may use it later on the air.
Okay, good. That's a good thing.
So if they call back, you know what's going to happen.
All right. So you had this 10-minute conversation. How did it end?
Well, it ended because I started to explain to Ray Miller that the IRS doesn't call you until they've sent you mail. The IRS certainly doesn't threaten to throw you in jail before they've had a chance to talk to you. And Ray Miller told me, well, we've stopped by your house several times over the past week, and nobody was there. And I'm like, you did? Oh, my gosh, I must not have been home. Where did you go? They listed my Springfield, Illinois address.
Oh, how did they know that?
That's a good question, but I'm assuming property records, because I still own the house.
I bet that scared there. You. That's probably surprised you.
That didn't surprise me, because if that's public knowledge. It's public knowledge. I don't know what they go through to get that information, but that is public knowledge. I own that house in Springfield. But I'm just like, you know what? No, you didn't, because I haven't lived there in 2.5 years, and there are people that live there now. They're not me. They didn't tell me anything about it. So, you know what? I think this is a scam. I think this is a scam, Ray Miller. And he's like, well, then why did you just waste my time?
He said that to you? Why did you waste my time?
Yes. And I'm like, I'm just like, dude, you called me. You tried to scam me, dude. Don't even pull that nonsense.
Yeah.
But, you know, and the reason that I got a little heated over this is because I really wanted to play that call to give you guys an idea of what this sounds like.
Very convincing.
It wasn't, but it may be convincing for some people because they're not aware that this goes on all the time. But now it's the middle of March, tax season's here, and you're going to be getting a lot of calls like this. You're going to be getting a lot of IRS scam calls. Carol Daniel, KMOX's Carol Daniel, while I was talking to Ray Miller, got a scam call herself.
Whoa.
from a fake charity demanding a donation without sending any background information.
Wow.
So this is a really hot time for scammers.
Demanding a donation?
Yeah, it's like, I wasn't on the call, so I can't tell you exactly what they said, but it was a fake charity.
Aggressive.
Yeah, it was just...
Thanks.
So I'm a little frustrated.
So as someone in the news, you pretty much give the same advice for every one of these. The IRS will not call you. They will send a letter through the mail. And what else can you tell them? Don't even humor these people. Just hang up. I guess you could call the Better Business Bureau. You can call someone.
The Federal Trade Commission
FTC?
is what the FBI recommends.
Oh, okay.
And I have a link to that. If you head to KMOX.com and click on columns, I have a link to the FTC site. It's toward the bottom. But if you want to report these scams to the local FBI office, to local police, to the FTC, there's a lot of things you can do. And it's not really going to, I mean, these scammers are going to be around because they use technology that's available to mask their phone, to mask their phone numbers and to mask where they're actually from. So, you know, it's difficult, but they're being dumb. They're calling reporters. They're calling police officers. They're calling everybody.
Oh, yeah. It's a shame, but... You know, it works for some people, so they keep doing it. You know, I ever saw a statistic that it doesn't work all that often, but they do it anyway.
It doesn't need to work all that often.
Yeah.
Because if you get $5,000 here, $7,000 there, it doesn't matter if, you know, 2 calls out of 200 have been successful. You just made $12,000. So, you know, not bad for a day's work, you know?
Yeah, ripping off old people. They seem to be the ones that fall for it the most, unfortunately. Too trusting, and they get too scared that something bad's going to happen to them, and... Very, wouldn't you like to meet some of these people and just punch them right in the face? Not that far?
No, because then my hand would hurt and they're not worth it.
Oh, okay.
So, yeah.
So what if you had something like a baseball bat? No, that's probably too far.
I'm not trying to kill people.
Yeah, no need to fantasize about beating up these scammers. But
I would give them a stern talking to.
Oh, they make people's lives miserable.
Listen to me, young man.
Yeah, that's what you would do? You'd sit them down? My day. How dare you?
Bend him over my knee, give him a good slap, and that'd be fine.
Bend him over your knee.
When's the last time anybody used that phrase?
Give him a good slap. Oh, Alex Stegman, I like that phrase.
I don't think I'd actually do that, by the way.
I'm going to try to sneak that in the show sometime later. Hey, thank you, Alex. Good to hear from you.
Yeah, absolutely.
Here. Glad you post that up at KMOX.com. Go look for it. I think you'll like it. All right, so the walkouts happened today. Same day President Trump was here in St. Louis. Audio from that visit, plus the walkouts as well. And the question I want to ask you, are you proud of these kids walking out, or are you disappointed that people are taking advantage of them? I I just think it's politicians and national narratives and people taking advantage of these kids. I really do. But maybe you're proud of them. You tell me which way you sit on this. 314-436-7900 or 800-925-1120. It's Overnight America, KMOX. President Trump in town today, arrived at the airport, went to Boeing, gave a speech, had the fundraiser for Holly. Same day as the national walkout was happening. Two big things in our area, which I want to get to both of them. Hundreds of students walking out across the St. Louis region. In fact, here's in Webster Grove. Take a listen to some of the chants.
To the politicians who are hiding behind
the Second Amendment. See, this is, I understand that these kids are hurting in Florida, and I understand that people want schools to be safe. However, this is makes it very difficult to take the walkout seriously, because I don't think they fully understand things like the Second Amendment. It's okay for them to have a voice, but it doesn't mean we have to be submissive to their voice because of their emotion. We need to do what's right. But what about you? This is why I want to know about these walkouts. Are you proud of these kids? Are you proud that they're going out and they're doing this and they're protesting? Or are you maybe, like me, disappointed there's people trying to take advantage of them to get the same agenda that they've been trying to push forever, regardless of what the situation in Florida was? 314-436-7900 or 800-925-1120. Let me get to John, who's calling in first. Hey, John, what's going on?
Hey, thanks for taking my call. So, just back to what you were saying, I don't feel like people are taking advantage of these kids at all. I feel like they are standing up and, this is happening. Like, when I graduated high school in 93, and this stuff wasn't really happening at nearly the frequency back then as these kids are dealing with it today. And so, maybe it's a major mental health issue. Maybe we as a society need to take a strong look at how we deal with problem students like this kid was. But there is absolutely no doubt about it that we have a major gun issue in this country. And if the politicians and the adults aren't going to step in and protect these kids that are going to school for an education, unarmed, completely defenseless, then absolutely they should stand up and protest and walk out and bring attention and try and bring a spotlight to an issue that for some God-known reason, people just turn a blind eye on.
Okay. Well, what do you think the students were walking out on today? Like, what if you were to ask and poll the students, what would they say?
So I would say that they're walking out to bring attention to the lack of attention to protection. That the Second Amendment allowing people to bear arms should not apply to scenarios where you've got people that are purchasing guns unvetted, unchecked, below the age of 21. For some reason, we allow the NRA to lobby our politicians and go kind of wild in certain states where they don't want to safeguard the common citizen. Missouri being one of those, Nevada being another one, Florida being another one. Why don't we as adults stand up and show outrage that our high schoolers are unsafe to go to school because we can't have a government and a law that protects them?
Okay, so that was a long answer, and you kind of lost me there. So if you can sum that up in one sentence, the reason why they're walking out here today, what would that one sentence be?
For their safety.
Okay, for their safety. Do you think people that are proponents and want to support the Second Amendment also want safety for our kids?
Absolutely. I think people want safety for their kids.
Okay. I think everyone does, right? Everyone wants safety for their kids.
Sure. All
right, so I think most people have the perception, and I think they would mostly be right, that the perception is the reason why all these kids were killed, the number one reason and the most important reason was because this person used a gun, so guns are the problem. Would you say that's mostly the mindset?
Well, I would say that guns are part of the issue.
Right, and I think that's where we need to make sure there's a distinction there. It's part of the conversation. But I think most people would say that when it comes to the protections of law-abiding citizens, the people that are using it properly, that they don't want to have to lose their rights based on what some idiot in Florida did when using that gun.
I think that's a fair assessment, but I think that people also would look at it from a common sense perspective and say, do we really need to allow 18 to 21-year-olds out there purchasing rifles and doing that without a background check?
Okay. That was a qualifier at the end with the background check thing, because that could be very much something that does change in the laws. I feel like there's going to be some sort of change in the way that they do these background checks. If anything, that's going to be the one thing that changes. All right. Hey, John, thank you very much.
Thank you.
You know, I do think that 18 is fine. I don't think you have to raise it up to 21. I really don't. I don't think that is the thing that would have prevented this at all. 314-436-7900 or 800-925-1120. To me, I just feel like people are taking advantage of these kids to push their own agenda. They have someone it's easy to say, how dare you say this to this child, you know? It's easy to say that. So it's hard for you to have any sort of actual common dialogue when what you're up against is someone that's grieving and very upset. But, you know, maybe you're proud of these kids walking out. This is why I want to hear what you think on this at 314-436-7900. Big Al calling in. Hey, Big Al, what's going on?
My man.
Yes.
Couldn't wait to call in. And I know I didn't want to interrupt your subject. So how smart were we in high school?
Me? In high school? I was dumb.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Me too.
Yeah.
I got suspended in kindergarten and went downhill from there. Dewey Elementary, right off McCausland.
You did not get suspended.
Yes, I did.
What'd you do in kindergarten?
Third day, the teacher goes, we were staying on numbers and bounce the ball and learn the numbers. And I got the ball and it was like a hard soccer ball kind of thing. And she goes, okay, the game's over. I go, no, it's not. It's my turn.
No.
She goes, the game's over. I go, it's my turn. She goes, give me the ball. I go, no. She goes, give me the ball. And I fired it like Michael Jordan and hit her right in the face.
Oh, no.
They called my mom and they go, come get him.
Yeah.
And she walked me home and it went downhill ever since.
Right. Okay.
But I want to say I agree with you. The kids are being used. But as a kid and not knowing, all they see is what they see.
Mm-hmm.
And so they're trying to get their voice out. And I do believe they need to tighten up a lot of things, including mental health.
Mm-hmm.
And we used to commit people that were absolutely crazy, but that got to be too mean. So now they get to do whatever they want, even though there are people that they're living with that are calling and saying, help me, help me, help me, and they're not being helped. So that's where we need to start. They can take a knife or whatever they want to do. And I understand the kids' desperation. I really do. Mm-hmm. And they just feel helpless. So the NRA has got their reasons. And the thing is if we stopped it tomorrow, there's 15 million guns out there.
Mm-hmm. No, 15 million AR-15s, just alone.
AR-15s,
yeah, just alone, yeah. But there's a lot more guns than that, yeah.
Right, right, right. But, I mean, what are you going to do? Seriously. So if they want it, they'll get it. So, but on my
Let me mention one other thing real quick.
Yes, sir.
I just want to point this out, too. If you really want to try to play prevent, the one of the things that you really need to do is to make sure this type of mindset changes or you help the people that need it. Because, you know, think about just, I know it's terrible to say this, but a human life's a human life. If it doesn't happen on a school, don't you want to prevent it later on if they want to do something like they did in Las Vegas? I mean, that's why preventing it at this age and this level is so important, because maybe they don't do it in a school by the time they're 21. Maybe they'll do it somewhere else in the future. You want to prevent those long-term repercussions too, I think. And that's
and
how you do it.
Not only that, but what happens in the inner city? They have metal detectors, right?
Yeah.
And they check them.
Yeah.
So there's nothing wrong with that. And if you've got a teacher that's qualified to carry, okay, and you have a system to where nobody can get in and you check them and you know, something goes down, if somebody's determined, they're going to do it.
Yeah.
I mean, just face it. We can't get around that.
Yeah.
But what I'm going to tell you is everybody that's screaming this is BS or whatever, when something goes down, what do? You get on the phone and call somebody with a gun.
Mm-hmm. You're right. Absolutely.
Right? So,
real quick, I want to get your comments on the president at Boeing. What'd you
think? OMG, he was sitting in the cockpit of my F-15 that I used to work at Boeing for 20 years.
Yeah.
And no, he wasn't sitting in it. I apologize. There was a guy sitting in it, and it said Commander in Chief sprayed on the fuselage.
Yeah.
And what a great show.
That make you proud?
Oh, my gosh. And to say that they saved that plant. Thank God the F-35 Joint Strike Fighter, the Lockheed, cannot figure out how to make them. They need to cancel it. JSF means junk so far, by the way, sir. They need to cancel it. The F-18 and the F-15 need to be upgraded, which they have been, and kill that girl. Just like the Raptor, it was too expensive. There's too many of them, and they need to get rid of it because guess what? Ours is proven.
Yes.
So I'm so proud today. And I was watching a press conference. I miss Boeing. I used to be there. I left because they laid me off, but I got teary eyed looking at my F-15 Eagle.
Very good.
And my wife still works there, and she built the bombs that are hanging off those wings. So God bless America, and I love everybody out here. I love St. Louis. Rec, you're doing a heck of a job. And
Thank you, Big Al. Make America great again. Have a great
night. Listen to Rec. He's the man.
Yes. Thanks, Big Al. I got the full endorsement from Big Al, who always likes to drop the mic at the end. We'll take some more of your calls. There's a few lined up here at 314-436-7900 or 800-925-1120. The walkout today in some President Trump clips. I'll get to that a little bit later this hour, too, on Overnight America KMOX.
St. Louis's drive time traffic every 10 minutes, mornings and afternoons. KMOX.
Overnight America continues. Another reason why it's hard to take some of these walkouts seriously. Here's in Webster Grove.
Never again will a child have to die because the government is too busy protecting guns' lives.
So, you know, it's... I get it. But to me, it shows the lack of maturity to understand the situation. When I hear things like that, it's unfortunate. If they actually had a message of something that is productive or real, or even a little bit productive, that's not. 314-436-7900 or 800-925-1120. So when you hear, how dare you criticize these kids? Okay, that's why. If you're going to have a conversation about this, you just can't say, okay, we're just going to, you know, give up our constitutional protections because your opinion is that when it's really not the case. Let me get to Roger. I want to get to Roger. Hey, Roger, thanks for holding on. What's going on?
Hey, I was listening to your show, and I'm one that also believes that these kids have been kind of co-opted by the politicians, and, you know, they use a tragedy to stir up emotion and get people fired up.
Mm-hmm.
And I have several kids myself when we talk through this stuff, and you talk about the logic behind it and say, so what's the problem with protecting the schools more?
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, a lot of their friends say, no, we got to eliminate guns. And when you talk about one of your earlier callers, you know, the 15 million AR-15s and over 300 million guns in the U.S.,
mm-hmm.
if it's not an AR-15, a 9mm will also work and fire off a lot of shots.
Mm-hmm.
So you're going to pretty much have to try and ban everything, but the people who will commit these crimes aren't going to turn their guns in.
Right. Or should the law-abiding citizens be forced to lose their Second Amendment protections based on what one 19-year-old did down in Florida?
And what amazes me to that point is the NRA is turning into the victim or the villain here, and the NRA does more to teach gun safety and hunter safety and make sure that people who are around guns actually operate them safely and don't harm other people. I was part of the NRA. I've taught kids for years how to handle guns appropriately.
Mm-hmm.
One of the worst things is for a teenager to go to a friend's house who has a gun and nobody knows how to handle it, and that's mm-hmm. a serious issue, and it's part of the parents' issue there. But, you know, you can't force everybody to do the right thing, but you can make sure your kids understand proper procedures. And
so, like, what do you teach your kids? What were the things you've discussed?
Well, one of the first things that we've learned with every gun is you never put your finger on the trigger until you're ready to fire it.
Okay.
The second thing is you always check to see if it's loaded, and that means there's got to be some familiarity with them.
Mm-hmm.
You know, one of my sons is still a high schooler, and he was talking about that, and he's like, Dad, I would feel better if there were some teachers that carried concealed weapons. And, you know, now that's not everybody, and some people think that's a barbaric state to be in, but it's when we have all these shooter games that kids play all day, we look at all the movies where violence is so big, they're desensitized to it, and it's the world we live in now.
Right.
And it's the gun's fault. It's the mindset of the people.
Mm-hmm.
And, right. You know, from a political standpoint, I can't remember the exact date, and I read some on it. I'm not an expert, but they made laws so that you could not discover the mental health of people.
There was some HIPAA and sharing information between the doctor, and there was some privacy concerns there for sure.
So authorities couldn't get to that. And, you know, this young man, they talked about earlier that he needed a background check. He passed a background check, did a 3-day waiting period. Police had been called to his house something like 30 times, including a time where he held a gun to someone's head.
And no, Roger, probably you see what they're looking at now. In January, there was almost, he said he was going to become a school shooter, and they ignored that threat. Right. It was even in January.
And then when you talk about arming the school, people say, well, there were sheriffs there and it didn't stop him. Well, you know, the number one job of the sheriff is they're supposed to engage an active shooter and the person didn't, you know, and whatever.
Lots of failures there, Roger. Lots of failures.
Right.
All right. Well, hey, I appreciate your input on this. Thank you for that.
Great topic. Thank you.
Thank you. Let me get to Rich calling in from South Bend. Hey, Rich, what's going on?
Hey, politicians better take these kids serious.
Mm-hmm.
Because, number one, they got a belly full.
Mm-hmm.
And they're going to vote.
Yeah, I mean, they'll become voting age, sure.
They're not interested in discussions. They want the laws changed. And a politician, A, said, no, I'm on the side of the NRA. I hope you enjoy your retirement.
So when you say they're not interested in discussions, is that a good or bad thing?
That's a good thing.
How?
How?
Yeah.
They want the laws changed. We've been yakking about this stuff for how long, and nothing gets done? These kids are serious.
You know
they got a belly full.
I just gotta say, you know, feelings are very deceptive, right? Everyone goes through it. I mean, it's just in every aspect of life, feelings are deceptive, and this is one of those things that, you know, they're hurt and they're upset, but again, feelings can be very deceptive and lead them in the wrong direction.
Well, they want the gun laws changed.
Mm-hmm.
May I remind you, in 1966, no one took the anti-war movement seriously.
Mm-hmm.
Nobody.
Mm-hmm.
50 years ago, in a couple more weeks, Lyndon Johnson said, I will not seek, nor will I accept the nomination as president.
Okay. Rich, do you think that these walkouts, there'll be more of them?
Oh, yeah. These kids got a belly full.
Okay.
Why do you think the gun laws in Florida suddenly changed? Oh, it's up to 21 now. Why? Did these politicians change their minds? No, but they counted. Okay, how many 18-year-olds are going to be in my district are going to be 18 by November?
Okay.
How many votes did I win last election? Oh, sorry, NRA, I like my paycheck.
So politics as usual, this time it's in the favor of the kids when it's normally not, is what you're saying?
Vote, money. It's important, but they don't count money on election day. They count votes.
Mm, there you go. Hey, thank you for calling in, Rich. Good to hear from you. You know, that's a lot different than the argument, which is the NRA, all they do is pay off the politicians so nothing will ever get done. I mean, that's a different tune, I guess, now. Well, it was so popular a month ago, just they were screaming that. All right, 314-436-7900 or 800-925-1120. More of your calls up next on Overnight America KMOX.
Get ready for the Blues and Avalanche Thursday night. Pre-game's gate 6:30. The puck drops at 7. Chris Kerber and Kelly Chase have all the action. Hear it here on your home for the best Blues coverage, KMOX.
Overnight America continues. I want to get to as many calls as we can before we get to the news here at the top of the hour. So let me get to Robert without waiting. Robert, what's going on?
Yeah, I think that 18 to 21-year-olds do not need to own a weapon unless they're in the military. Then there's an exception for them. But I think there's a lot of growing up, even in an 18-year-old, and then some of them have hard feelings against their high schools. They'll give them 3 years of working a job, and then by the time they're 21, hopefully they'll have more maturity and they won't be worried about their bad memories in the high school.
All right, so no gun whatsoever up until you're 21?
Nope. Right, and I think they don't need to, and then anyone under 21 doesn't need to be having jobs where they have to carry a weapon, and when they're 21.
What about hunting? Would you do an exception for hunting?
I don't really. The only problem with the hunting is that some of them, like I said, I don't think they need to hunt from 18 to 21. That's just me. You know, I guess there could be exceptions for hunting, but the problem is how do you know, how do you decide who's responsible and who isn't?
You can do that for any age, though, right? You can do it. 18 doesn't make you necessarily irresponsible enough to ban you from having a firearm, I don't think. I mean, just because if you're looking at responsibility, how would you be able to tell?
Well, that's just it. I know there's a lot of growing up. A lot of people at age 18 are not mature.
Okay.
And then a lot of them at 21, there's a better chance that the brains grow, you know, 18 to 21.
Okay. All right. Hey, thanks, Robert.
You're welcome.
You know, I think we have a definition of an adult issue more than a gun issue there. So if you don't think you're an adult at 18 or able to make your own decisions or things, and keep in mind, an 18-year-old can be just as responsible as a, I don't know, 21-year-old. Let's put it that way. So what are you going to say? Well, maybe 21 is too young, too. Let's go 25. Well, maybe they're too young. And you know, you can own a house at 18 if you want to, right? You can go out and purchase things. You have the right to defend yourself at that age. Let me get to Greg. Greg, what's going on?
Good evening, Mr. Record.
All right. So we're talking about the issue of the walkout today. What do you think?
Well, as I've been listening over these days, we're all hurting in the country.
Mm-hmm.
Understood. Children killing children. That is horrendous. It is evil. I want everyone to take a breath and think about this. As I've been watching and listening on the radio, I have not heard one person say, one child say, that I will take responsibility as a fellow student, as a member of a school community, and look for people who are hurting.
Right.
I will take responsibility in my actions and not be a bully. I will watch what I do. I will show manners. I will show respect and love to my fellow human being.
Mm-hmm.
Now, as we look back, I just want everyone to take a breath before we get into this political situation here. We have had bullies who have taken out their anger indiscriminately and have killed other human beings. Now, guns don't kill people. It is the person behind who's holding the gun.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I certainly hope I can reach some parents tonight, maybe some students, and I want them to think, being a better human being, watching out for your fellow human being, will make the society the way it's supposed to be. This is an enhanced society, all right? You have to want your freedom, which means you have to earn it every day, and watch what you say and watch what you do.
Mm-hmm.
And I certainly hope I can reach some people, because all I do is hear politics, right? We have the Second Amendment. I know that, and I know we're all hurting. I wish everybody the best, but I want people to think maybe we ought to watch out for people who are hurting.
Mm-hmm. All right, Craig. Thank you. Appreciate that. Good to hear from you. All right, so one of the things Greg said that I will point out is the responsibility of bullying in schools and trying to stand up for someone when they're getting pushed too far, whatever it may be. I think there's been a lot of organizations in attention to that in schools, anti-bullying. you know, see something, say something, stand up for someone. A lot of times that starts in the home, in the sense that you have to tell your kids, hey, you don't treat other people like this. It's common for previous generations to, if they found out their kid was acting this way, oh, you better believe they would do something about it. And the kid would learn a lesson. Today, it's a, you know, my kid's not that bad. It's no big deal. The kid probably deserved it. And I don't know. There's a certain amount of parenting that needs to be put into consideration that could prevent things like this. Then on the school side, you're right. With the kids inside the schools, every time they turn the blind eye for the kid that got his books knocked down or beat up or head in the toilet or whatever the bullies do, for every time that happened and they laughed at it, they need to think to themselves, you know, what if? And if we go back to it, it's like we're going to say to these, you know, we're going to allow these kids to say we're responsible enough to shape the gun policy in America. But at the same time, we're not responsible enough to stop bullying. We're not responsible enough to have handguns at the age of 18. We're not responsible enough as you know, I don't know. They're trying to have it both ways is what I'm trying to say. There's a lot of other things that I think would be so much more effective in this debate that the screaming of a walkout cannot produce. Let me go to Linda calling in. Linda, you're on Overnight America. Hi.
Hi. This is something I was thinking about before the Parkland shooting, and it's probably depressing as hell, but I just feel like this gun thing, I've kind of given up. You know, it's almost like I look at it like it's a cancer. And so what can you do? Well, you can eat healthy. You can, you know, avoid things. So you could live a life where you try to stay out of danger and you can try to be safe. But at some point, you know, there's a probability that, yeah, you might get shot. So you try to lower your risk factors. Mm-hmm. But, I mean, you don't want to, I mean, I don't have a gun. But I love having the idea that I could have one if I felt unsafe or felt like someone was coming after me. And I want to be able to get it quickly and not, you know, wait a month or whatever if I was in that kind of situation. But yeah. I also, you know, think schools should be safe. I don't think having metal detectors and armed teachers is really a good thing. So it's kind of like I work, you know, in policy, so I kind of get all of these ideas and I hear the different sides. And I guess I'm just in a little bit of a hopeless thing. Like, you know, there's really not anything government can do to reduce the number of shooters. It's just, it may happen if we have people that are hurting and they feel like that's their only option is to take it out on other people. But mm-hmm. like, just try. I mean, I don't know. I'm hoping somebody can make me feel better because I really don't.
Well, this is what I'll say. I will say this, Lynn. I think this is kind of on the same path you're on. And let's look at this outside of a gun realm and let's look at it as a plane. So the odds of you getting in a plane crash are very, very, very low. It's lower than getting into a car crash, you know, when it comes to fatalities. So
Right. Let's
say if there was a plane crash, the people on the plane, what were the things they would look for? Of course, they'd look for the black box and they'd try to figure out why. Was there a malfunction? Was there something that went wrong? Was there an inspection that was missed and they forgot to change this out? Was there an engine that went bad? They would look for the things that went bad on the plane as opposed to saying the plane was the reason why everyone died. They're going to be looking for who's negligent in a situation like that. So down in Florida, we can look at the situation and say, all right, where were the police officers? Were they told to stand down? Where was the FBI? How many times did they go to the house and ignore it? Was there a tip that came in January that had the actual shooter say he was going to become a shooter and go and shoot up a school? Were those things ignored? Where the negligence in this sort of thing, as opposed to just looking at the gun and saying, yep, that'll fix everything. You know, that's when you're looking at it as an odds thing, you don't want to dehumanize it and the feelings that these kids are having. But at the same time, you want to do the things that are effective. You don't want to do the things that will be ineffective. That's what I'm thinking.
I think these kids are amazing. I mean, they're articulate and they're organized. And I guess I see some people thinking they're being co-opted by parties. But I also think when you're a teenager, I mean, if you ever lost a kid in your class when you were, I mean, everyone went through something. You know, it's a really emotional time, and you have a really large reaction to something when you're a teenager. And mm-hmm. I just feel like they are smart, and they, you know, they're in the right place at the right time, and they want to be heard, and they're also hurting. So I don't like when people criticize them, but at the same time, I think we're just in a society where we have to look at it from an odds perspective. And I like what you said, and that does make me feel a little bit better.
All right, thank you. We got to get to news, but hey, good to hear from you, Linda. Thanks.
Thank you.
Yeah, and I should be careful to say, you know, I believe I'm disappointed in the people that are taking advantage of these kids, not the kids themselves. So I was trying to be pretty careful to say that, because I do think there's people that take advantage of them. It's Overnight America, KMOX.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.